Welcome to this week's edition of Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Focus Fridays is being brought to you by Hobbrins Insurance, Home Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. I am Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM, and my guest this week is the United Way of Wayne and Holmes County's Executive Director and CEO, Katie Kogelman. Well, thank you for joining in with me today, Katie. I appreciate you being here.
I'm really happy to be here. I think this is a great idea.
Wonderful. And so as I introduced you, you are the executive director of the United Way of Wayne and Holmes Counties. And so for those folks listening, what exactly is entailed in the executive director position with an entity like United Way?
Yeah, so United Way of Wayne and Holmes County, we are our own entity. I first want to make sure everyone locally understands that. We don't answer to anyone else, no one in Washington, D.C. or Virginia. We answer to a local board of directors, which many of your listeners are on our board of directors. So my job as the executive director or CEO is to run the day-to-day operations. I have a great team, but the buck stops with me. So making sure that we're getting enough donations in to help people in need, making sure that our programs and projects are running effectively and efficiently, and really being one of the faces to the community, to our neighbors and our friends, so that people know they can trust us and that we're working hard on your behalf.
And for those who maybe aren't familiar, what is it that United Way does in Wayne and Holmes counties?
Yeah, so we do a lot, but I can boil it down to two words, and that's we help. So we help people in need. We help other nonprofit organizations access the money that they need to provide mental health counseling or physical exams. We also help people connect to other resources. We have a database of thousands of local resources, and you can call us 24/7 and we'll connect you with the resources that you need. We also help kids learn how to read. That's a big initiative of ours. But we are the organization, the go-to organization when you don't know where else to go. We have flexible dollars that come from local donors here in this community. We don't take any state or federal grants because we don't want strings attached to those donations. If you have a need, we want to be able to meet that need, whether it's through another organization assisting you or some sort of pot of money that we have set aside for specific needs.
Which I guess those two words are probably the best two, the we help, to describe what you're doing. Whatever you need, you have a question on, call United Way.
Yeah, we may not be the organization to solve the problem, but we know who is. And I think that's important. You know, I would like to say, call us and we're going to connect you to who can help you.
And I've said this with a lot of our guests here. It's not about what you know. It's about who you know. And United Way knows a lot of entities, peoples, resources, and things that can help.
Yeah, and that's really a big part of our job is to know that. So we're constantly in meetings and coalitions and listening to people, scouring the internet for resources for you. We put out a directory that is for senior citizens or people who don't have internet access. So it's still at your fingertips as well.
Which is fantastic because especially in our community, there is a lot of people who don't have the internet because be it access or they're at that age where they're like, oh, internet, no.
Well, and it's hard to understand for a lot of our senior citizens. You know, it's hard for those of us that grew up with internet,
right?
Let alone someone who never grew up with it to navigate all the systems. So we help do that as well.
So your position, were you appointed to that or was it an applied position? How did you come to be the director?
So I applied for it at the time of the opening, I was actually working in Columbus at the Ohio Chamber of Commerce as the executive director of the Research Foundation, traveling back and forth to Columbus, and someone from the community called me and said, hey, United Way is going to be doing a search for an executive director. I think you should apply. And my first gut reaction was like, oh gosh, that's a lot of work. And I wasn't sure if my personal values aligned with United Way. So I did a lot of research and I called my dad, and my dad said, well, you can't change a system if you aren't the system. And I really took that to heart. And it wasn't like big things, but there was a misconception even in my mind that this local United Way was that big United Way. And I learned very quickly it's not. We can do what our community needs, and it doesn't matter what any other United Way is doing across the country. We can be what our community needs. And that was really important to me. So when I applied, I think what they liked best about me was my fearlessness. I'm not afraid to ask for money. The money that's donated doesn't line my pockets. It helps people, and it helps organizations that are doing really great work. So I'm not afraid to ask for it. And some people tell me no. No does not mean never to me. But I don't mind asking. You know, I'm not making, there's a misconception out there, the CEO of United Way makes $400,000 or something.
And you're like, I wish.
Right. No, your CEO of your United Way is not making $400,000. But we're investing millions of dollars every single year right back into this community, which is amazing.
And how long have you been the director?
So I celebrated 7 years in September. So you and I started
pretty close to the same time.
Yeah.
So we've been working together our whole careers.
Our whole careers here. We've been working together. Yeah. So 7 years, 8 fundraising campaigns, because the timing is a little weird. But yeah, and it's been, the 7 years has gone by quick. We had COVID, which for a lot of organizations, they kind of ceased operations, and we were the front line. We were the COVID hotline. So while other people were quarantined at home, we were at the office.
Quarantined in the office.
Working 12 hours a day, answering phone calls from many of your listeners. And in the beginning, we didn't know what was going on. We were getting directives, and we were just there to answer the phone. And that's what we did for a year and a half, was answer the phone and answer your questions. So I feel like 5 years should be technically.
Because that whole year and a half
like,
was.
Yeah, that year and a half was a complete blur.
For the most part, like, we just don't count COVID year. Like, yeah. Because nobody remembers what happened through that.
Fundraising was honestly really easy that mm-hmm. year, because there seemed to be a lot of money, right? I mean,
because nothing else was happening.
Well, people were so concerned. It was like, we need help. And so fundraising was honestly pretty simple that year, where other years it's not been as simple. So it's a lot of late hours and a lot of no's, a lot of rejection. But I live for it.
Well, we'll learn more about what you do day to day and through a campaign and how all this works. That's Katie Kogelman, the Executive Director of the United Way of Wayne and Holmes County. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays. We are back here on WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick here with the Executive Director of the United Way of Wayne and Holmes County's Katie Kogelman. And we got a great introduction to what you do with the United Way in the very beginning, but there is a lot that goes into your job. We help is two simple words for a very complicated position.
Complicated is right. And to be able to share everything in 3 to 5 minutes is nearly impossible, but yeah, we help is what it boils down to.
Just on I know there's probably no average day when it comes to what you do at the United Way, but just to kind of get an idea of some of the daily activities that you do to keep the program running.
Yeah. So for me, in my position, I'm responsible for the bulk of our fundraising efforts. So making sure that we can get donations from people. And that is time consuming because it takes a lot of explanation, a lot of convincing, and building trust with the community. So day to day, I might be calling someone, visiting with someone, writing a letter to someone, and then also thinking about every way possible that we can just raise one more dollar, because every dollar that we raise is invested back into this community. So I do spend a lot of time thinking as well, which people are probably like, that seems like a waste of time.
But you got to be creative.
Someone has to be, and that's my role as the leader, is also the visionary. And the girls laugh if I come in a Monday morning, I'm like, I have an idea. They're like, oh, here we go again.
The boys do the same thing here with me.
But I'm an idea person, and that's part of my role, and that's part of my job, is to vision what this could look like and what it should look like. And I don't take that role lightly. It's an important role.
It is super important. And you mentioned in the last segment about COVID, another event that happened in our area that you guys were a big part of helping with was the derecho a few years ago. That was the help you were able to get the resources and the funds to help people was huge.
Yeah, and that's part of our job in the community, is that long-term relief. So we work well with the American Red Cross. They come in for the first 72 hours, but then they're done. So we had families from that 22 derecho that we literally just within the last 9 months closed their case. Because it's long-term recovery that we really focus on. And, you know, the excitement, the hype of it just happened, I want to help, that wanes after 72 hours.
With most events, like anytime you have a disaster like that, it's everybody whoom right in the beginning, but you need groups like you guys that are there for that long haul.
Yes, and that's a big part of what we do in community resiliency.
And you guys also have your campaign that you do to raise the funds. What goes into planning for that? Like, do you have all your events laid out ahead of time, or are you guys just on the fly, like, let's do this, let's go?
So for fundraising, we have it all planned out. For helping, it's like, yep, let's go. We got to do this now. So a really great example of meeting an immediate need. When I came 7 years ago, childcare was an issue in Holmes County. It's still an issue, but it has taken 7 years to find the right partner and the right money to get before and after school care that just launched this year. And we were able, as United Way, to put up that $25,000 to get the Y in here so that we could have some before and after school care. That's saying yes to immediate needs. And we do that almost on a daily basis.
You're right. Childcare is a huge issue. There is not a lot of places in our area because we're so spread out too. And so finding those central ways to do that was important.
Well, and for working families, before and after school care is vital. Because a lot of employers expect you to clock in and clock out, but yet the kids are getting on the school bus after you leave or getting off the school bus before you come home. That creates safety issues, and we don't need that in our community. We need these kids to have somewhere to go before and after school, and it now is a reality.
And really, you guys were able to help the Y get in without a lot of fanfare. It just happened. Like, I didn't know that you guys had helped make that. And I'm in the media.
Yeah,
so it's
sometimes we like, our board tells us a lot, you guys don't brag enough about what you're doing. But it's like, we're just so busy doing it that we forget, oh yeah, this is a pretty huge deal that we just did. Maybe we should tell somebody.
Well, we're telling everybody now, right? Like, look what you guys have helped do. It's a huge thing. And I think it's going to do nothing but grow, hopefully, here in the county.
Yes.
Well, we are going to chat more about what it is that you do in raising funds and how you run things at the United Way. That's Katie Kogelman, the director of the United Way of Wayne and Holmes Counties. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. We are back here on WKLM Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick with WKLM, speaking with the United Way of Wayne and Holmes County's Executive Director, Katie Kogelman. And Katie, we've really been diving deep into all the joy and the heartaches and everything of how you guys help folks in our community. But one of the things that you as the director also does is look beyond locally to see what you can do statewide with legislature that helps us locally.
Yeah, so a piece of my job, and I'm the only one on the team that really does this, is advocating for policies that will positively impact our community. And that may be a state policy, it might be a national policy, but it's my job to stay in touch with that. And I'll give you a really good example of one that I've been working on for the last several years. You know, here locally, we have the 211 hotline. That is something that United Way pays for. We make sure that every member in our community, Holmes County, Wayne County, can dial 211 from anywhere, and they will get a live operator to answer the phone and help you with your needs. That's not available everywhere in the state of Ohio.
No, it's not.
So we have been advocating for that and feel that we need a statewide policy in order to make it possible. So some areas that are not covered, like some other counties, we could say, hey, we'll cover that county. So at least they have a live person answering the phone. That's a legislative issue, but we need the state of Ohio to help with that because we can't force counties to make a service available.
And what people don't realize is, oh, we're in the age of the internet. You can just Google it. Well, there's a lot of places in Ohio that don't have access to the internet, whether it be because they're deep down in the trenches or whatever.
Or they live in Kilbuck.
Or they live in Kilbuck and nothing comes in well. So having that phone resource, that human, and some people just resist technology. So
well, and the majority of the people who call that line are senior citizens. So, you know, the internet doesn't solve everything. And that's something we've been advocating for, too. Senior citizens in general, advocating for them that are on a fixed income. And the prices recently of goods and services have put many of our senior citizens at risk.
Utilities,
and
everything.
So advocating for the state to raise the household income for senior citizens so that they can apply for food assistance. Because we have senior citizens that are going hungry because groceries are so high and they have a pension. They did their time. They worked 40 years and now they're not getting raises on that money. And we as a state have not raised that threshold so that they may be eligible for some other assistance like food.
And where folks see, you know, have your thermometer with your funds raised, people aren't seeing this advocacy that you're doing in the background to help people.
Yeah, they don't. And we don't talk about our advocacy work a lot. We are a neutral organization, nonpartisan. So we don't ever advocate for, you know, we don't endorse politicians. We don't advocate for anything that is polarizing at all. We will not. You may see other organizations do that. We will not do that. But what we do advocate for is the health and well-being of our community members. So if that means senior citizens getting access to food assistance, we're going to advocate for that. If that means children having free lunches at school because they don't eat anywhere else but at school, we're going to advocate for that. But it is a lot behind the scenes, and we heavily weigh our options when it comes to what we advocate for and what we will not advocate for.
Well, and as you say, remaining that neutral as a media organization, we're the same way. We are neutral when we write our story. We try to include both sides if there's a sided thing. And it, people think, oh, well, it's easy. Well, there's a lot of
things. It's actually way harder to stay neutral than is to not blur the lines with your personal opinions or your personal values. Now, I don't ever want anyone on my team to feel like their personal values have been compromised, but we just don't go there. If it is something that really is not going to impact the health and welfare of someone or a workforce or employer, we're not going there.
Which is, it's a good frame to have, is, you know, what's going to help people. And like you said in the beginning, we help. And you can't help if you're being controversial.
Yes, because you just polarize. You know, you just cause drama, and we don't like drama either. I don't like drama.
I don't either. It's exhausting. Well, it's great to learn about these parts of your job that are happening that really aren't out there, and, you know, really getting an idea of what all that you're doing for the community.
Yeah, and sometimes it's meeting with our lawmakers and our legislators. And sometimes it's just meeting with people in other parts of the state to see how have they solved a particular problem.
And there are plenty of problems out there to be solved.
Yes.
We're going to learn more about what is involved with being the executive director of the United Way of Wayne and Holmes County with the director, Katie Kogelman. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays. Back again here on WKLM for Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick speaking with Katie Kogelman, the executive director of the United Way of Wayne and Holmes Counties. And the United Way is a nonprofit organization. And everybody thinks that it's just, oh, it's nonprofit, let's go. That's simple, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. And then once you get into it, it's not as easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Yeah, it's not. And a lot of people say, hey, I'm going to start a nonprofit, and don't realize the legal responsibilities to that, the legal liabilities to that.
The paperwork.
But also many people get promoted to the leadership position with no understanding or knowledge of what it takes to run a nonprofit organization. So we are a resource for you. If you're a smaller nonprofit and you feel lost, you don't know if you're doing the right thing, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, we are a resource to other nonprofits in our community. And fortunately, I have experience and credentials to be able to coach other nonprofit leaders on how to do it right, how to do it legal, how to do it ethically. And then what are some other things that you as a nonprofit should be doing to prove to our community members that they can trust you? Trust is a big issue when it comes to nonprofit organizations.
Because you see in the news and stuff all the time, folks, that we're raising money for this, and then it was for their luxury vacations.
Right.
And misusing that. And you, like you said, there's a legal liability once you take that nonprofit status.
And board members. And I think a lot of board members don't, you know, they join boards because their friend asked them to, and don't realize once you become a board member of a nonprofit organization, you are fiscally responsible for that organization. And that is a big job, right?
It's a commitment.
But there's trainings out there. There's trainings from the Ohio Secretary of State, the Ohio Attorney General, from organizations like us at United Way. And then I am a huge proponent of the third-party watchdogs on nonprofits, Charity Navigator and Candid. And I teach other leaders how to get in there and get those ratings so that you as a donor, you can go to charitynavigator.com, look up any nonprofit, and see what their rating is, and if you can trust them.
I didn't know that existed. If you could see my face, I was making that face.
She was. It was like, what? Yeah. So I do training for other nonprofit leaders on how to set up your profile in there. And you got to provide them a lot of information. You have to give them your financials, which nonprofit financials are public record.
Exactly. Anyone, I didn't know that.
Anyone can search them. Now, there's gray areas, you know, church ministries, they don't have the same scrutiny. So, but if you're a 501c3 registered with the Internal Revenue Service in the state of Ohio, you have to provide those records. You don't have to. You should. You should make them available because that proves that you're transparent and you're trustworthy.
And if you're raising money for the right causes, there shouldn't be any.
You shouldn't be hiding anything.
To hide anything.
That's
it
right.
Should be like, yep, here it is. I got
That's
it.
That's right. And you can look up all of our documents as a local organization, and most of our local organizations here, you can do the same. So if you are running a local organization, you're like, what is she talking about? Contact me. I'm here as a resource to help you.
Or if you've been thinking about getting that start going, like
yeah.
You've got this great idea and you want to help people, it sounds like it fits right in with what the United Way does, helping
yeah,
people.
Yeah, it is. And the other thing is, Melissa, that a lot of people want to start a nonprofit without doing research. And sometimes your great idea would be the perfect program for an already existing organization rather
Teamwork.
Than starting from square one. Like there's probably an organization that's already doing something that would really complement your idea, and collaboration, funders like collaboration, community members like collaboration. So let's talk about collaborating rather than starting from ground zero.
Well, and working together, because we all have that, you know, time where it seems like everybody's asking for money. So if you can have people working together and asking for less money, you're going to be more successful raising the funds that you need.
Yeah. And I know the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about donor fatigue, and it's a real thing.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. So with that, we're going to take a little break here. We'll be back with the executive director of the United Way of Wayne and Holmes Counties, Katie Kogelman, with WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. We are returning here on WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick with WKLM, speaking with the executive director of the United Way of Wayne and Holmes County, Katie Kogelman. And you mentioned at the end of the last segment there about dealing with donor fatigue and getting folks to donate. And like you said, that's a real thing. We see it when it comes time for buying those items for the school. You have four kids and they're all selling some form of pepperoni roll and wrapping paper. And it just seems like all the fundraisers hit at once.
It's nonstop and it's constant. And as donors, as people who are opening their wallets for these great causes, some of them are getting really tired. And it's funny, if you think about United Way of Wayne and Holmes, we're going to be celebrating our 70th anniversary.
Wow.
We are one of the oldest nonprofit organizations in the community. When we started, the businessmen of the community only wanted to make one gift. That was the whole initial concept. It was like a united way of giving. We're going to make one gift, and then you're going to give money to the seven other organizations that keep knocking on our doors. So Salvation Army, YMCA, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, those were some of those founding organizations. 70 years later, fast forward, we have over 800 nonprofit organizations that are registered and valid. 800. So 70 years ago, they were sick and tired of seven people asking. Now they have 800. So as you can imagine, donor fatigue is a real thing. So how do we deal with that rejection? How do we turn your no into a yes? How do we turn your yes into a bigger yes? Those are conversations that we have behind the scenes. But I was recently asked to speak in front of a group of people about the other side of the ask. What does it mean for me? Like, what are the things I think about when I'm asking you to give? First and foremost, let me tell you, I am a donor. I personally donate to not only United Way of Wayne and Holmes, many other organizations, and I tithe at my church. So I'm in your shoes. I'm giving as well. I'm not asking you to do something that I don't do. But the other thing that I find really interesting is people will write off a nonprofit organization because of the littlest thing. Oh, I got a dirty look at the annual dinner, or they said something at Facebook I don't like. And I started thinking about that with businesses, big chain businesses. And I'm going to throw McDonald's under the bus. So you go to McDonald's and you order your Big Mac and fries and the best Diet Coke in the world. And your fries are cold. So you're mad. You might complain. You might not. You drive away. You either throw the cold fries away or you eat them with disgust. But next week, you go back to McDonald's and you order the same thing and you get fries again. Flip that script to a nonprofit organization. The minute they do anything that maybe you don't like, and it could be something so simple as, you know, a picture that they posted on Facebook, or you think they're just giving handouts to people and not hand-ups to people, so you don't like that, you will never, ever donate to that organization again. And it just blows my mind. It's not fair. You know, we give McDonald's all the grace in the world and trust and believe that the next time I go there, my fries are going to be hot, but I will never give that local organization another dime. And that's what we deal with.
And really, the United Way is just a shell. Because you're taking that money then and splitting it, and you can designate where you want your money to go.
Yeah, and I'll push back. We're not a shell because we run a lot of our own programs. So
you're a shell plus.
We and I think the reason why I just don't like the word shell. I think that what we do is we research and vet organizations for you. So you can make that one donation.
You're putting everybody in one building.
Yeah, you can make that one donation and it's going to help 27 organizations. Organizations that we have reviewed their financials. We've looked at what they're spending your money on. Like, we're doing that donor research for you. And really that concept came from that businessman mentality of, I want to give once and know that that one gift is helping many people and many organizations. But it wasn't just, hey, shell it out to other people, which I think is where that word shell came from. But it's, no, we make sure these organizations are valid. They're operating under the laws of the state of Ohio, and that they're actually spending the money on what they say they're spending the money on. So we're doing all that work for you.
And
so
you check. You make sure.
We check. And if they're not, our board of directors meets with their board of directors. That's when it gets a little weird. It gets a little awkward. But that's us doing our due diligence to say, yes, when you give to United Way of Wayne and Holmes, you can trust that your dollar is going to be used for real issues and real problems. You're not funding someone's mansion. You're not funding someone's luxury vacations. You're literally funding to help children in our community or people with mental health issues in our community or real community disasters like the derecho.
And so it's definitely a lot of misconceptions that you guys have to overcome, not just donor fatigue. It's a combo.
It is a combo. And we want to be, of course, we want to be your favorite charity. We want to be the one, you can call me and say, hey, should I donate to this organization? Hey, I'll show you where to go. Do your own research. Check it out. And I tell people that all the time. We get a lot of calls around this time of year. You know, how do I know if my gift is actually helping? And then that's when I turn them on to Charity Navigator, search the organizations. Like, we like to go down rabbit holes with movie stars and, you know, the Taylor Travis romance. Let's go down the rabbit hole. Go down the rabbit hole on your local charities. Do it.
And now that we know there's a resource to do that.
And I have every confidence that you go down my rabbit hole and you're going to be like, yep, I should be donating to them. Because we do what it takes to be transparent and to be trustworthy. And those rabbit holes exist so that you can give and go to sleep at night knowing that your money is working hard.
Which is super important. Well, we're going to take one last break here. We'll be back for our final segment with Katie Kogelman, the Executive Director of the United Way of Wayne and Holmes Counties. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. We're back for one last time here on Focus Fridays on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick with Executive Director for the United Way of Wayne and Holmes Counties, Katie Kogelman. And as being the Executive Director, you're running the United Way, but you're also getting involved with a lot of other committees and things to really be out there in the community.
Yeah, and honestly, I could not do it without my team. So I've got a team of me plus five amazing women. Lisa, who's been there nearly 30 years. Kaylee Cox, who many of you know. Megan Wilson, who many of you know. Ashley Hirschberger, who many of you know. And Debbie Stutz is our part-time office admin. Without a team of passionate women, we couldn't do, and I just say women because we're an all-female team, but we couldn't accomplish what we do by myself. So yes, I am the leader of the organization, but you will see our faces all over the community, whether it's on the library board or the Habitat board or the Housing Coalition or the Child Care Coalition or the Park District board. You know, we are heavily involved in many things in the community. I'm a Rotarian. Kaylee is in Kiwanis. Lisa's in the Lions. So we're really involved in the community. You should know our faces. You should know things about us personally, where we live. You know, you might know our kids. We might sit next to you at the football game. So we're highly involved in the community. We go to church with many of you. We grocery shop with many of you. But that's honestly what it takes to be good at our jobs.
Because you're embedded.
We're at the table. We're there at the table, hearing from you, learning from you. And one of the big things that we do is fill gaps. So as we're at all these meetings and we're at church and we're at the football games, we're listening and we find out what needs are not being met. And that's really our kind of special sauce. Okay, nobody's meeting this need. We either, one, need to fund it and find the champion, or we need to champion it until somebody else has the expertise to do it. So a really great historical example that tons of people don't know this is United Way started our local hospice.
Oh.
Yes.
Also, again, surprised face.
So it was two men back in the day. They're like, we really need this hospice idea, but we don't know where to go, where to start. And United Way funded the very first year of hospice to make sure it happened. And now they're huge. They don't need United Way anymore. But it was great that we were that initial start. And that's a lot like now local. So what we're doing with the Y. We knew this was a need, child care. We funded it. They're doing it. Some other things that, you know, we don't have tax assistance in this community. So we're exploring that. Is that a gap that we're going to fill?
Taxes are a whole huge, that's a whole nother
setup. So stay tuned. We are working on a housing coalition for Holmes County. We helped start the housing coalition in Wayne County. And we know housing is a crisis right now. So what can we do to step up and get something started? It doesn't mean we're the ones going to end up doing it, but we're going to get that community conversation started. Transportation, another issue. You know, we just had a huge provider shut their doors in Holmes County. Who's filling that gap? We're working to help figure that out.
And we've talked here about how you get a lot of your information by being involved in the community, but you're also educating yourself to be able to bring the best to the community, to bring these new ideas to the community, and putting in those extra hours to have the best to offer.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not always met with smiles and rainbows and sparkles, which we're all full of. Like, our team, we're all very sparkly, passionate people.
It's legit, no lie.
and sometimes our ideas are not met with that same enthusiasm. And that also becomes our job then to educate the community. Housing is one of those issues that, you know, it can have stigmas. You know, people hear affordable housing and assume that means the slums. That's not what it means.
Not at all. And it's just not ridiculous prices.
And the word affordable, maybe we need to can it. You know, we need to say something more like attainable housing, because you can have a young couple that are both working and they may be making what we consider a really great wage, but there's not a house available for them at their price point. So just having those conversations, and it's important to us, and we actually welcome it, and we want to hear, like, we want to hear the negative statements, because then that helps us know what do we need to do more research on to figure out this housing crisis.
And you guys do your research. You take classes, you do courses, you do what you need to do to get the resources you need. I know you've taken multiple different kinds of classes that we've talked about to help the program go further.
We do. And being a United Way opens a network for us. So like I said in previous sessions about advocacy, we also have all these other United Ways that they're not us. They're not doing the same thing as us, but they're doing something. And sometimes we can call a United Way in Georgia or Alaska, say, hey, what are you guys doing? We saw this happened, and just get some really great ideas. So it's nice having that network of other organizations who are helping in their community and learning from them, just like businesses do every day.
And as we are wrapping this up, any last thoughts then, things people should know about?
No, I'm just so happy that you had me on for this, because, you know, dealing with misconceptions is a big part of our job. And we'd love it if everyone just understood, and then we could get down to solving problems and making this the best community for people to live and work and play in.
So, you know, I guess the final word is they help, and don't be afraid to call for help.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much, Katie. I appreciate you joining in with me today.
Thank you, Melissa.
That was the United Way of Wayne and Holmes County's Executive Director and CEO, Katie Kogelman, for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. Focus Fridays has been brought to you by Hobbins Insurance, Holmes Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. Don't miss an episode of Focus Fridays here on WKLM in the 9 a.m. hour on Fridays. And if you do happen to miss an episode, you can always catch up on our website, WKLMFM.com, and click on the Focus Fridays icon and catch all the missed episodes there. In the next edition of Focus Fridays, we focus in on Holmes County Park Director Jen Halverson. It's all being brought to you here on your hometown radio, 95.3 WKLM.